Hello, and welcome to my dead man switch. I'm just kidding. Kind of. Things have gotten a little bit hot over the past few weeks, and it's come to my attention that there are some really bad people out there who really don't like me. And it would be a shame if something happened to me before I could tell my story about how I stumbled onto a very real satanic pedophile cult known as 764. But first, if you haven't already watched my Where is Jade Parker video, that's a really good place to start. In fact, you need to start there. I made that video back in January as I was wrapping up my investigation into the accelerationist forces that I believed may be provoking mass shootings in specific online communities. To give you a super short TLDR of the Where is Jade video, it explains how I was researching the true cause behind mass shootings when I stumbled upon a major rabbit hole, leading me to a number of online extremist communities that had been infiltrated by a rising terror threat known as accelerationism. And before you start typing angry comments at me, no, we aren't talking about the e-acceleration tech bro stuff. The type of acceleration we're talking about here is a form of violent extremism that works to pit the people of America and their respective political ideologies against each other in an attempt to spread chaos and accelerate societal collapse. Of course, this tactic of division, which is reminiscent of the Operation Gladio era strategy of tension, is already widely used by far greater threats than fringe accelerationist domestic terror cells. But these domestic terror cells have been growing bigger and stronger and getting better at what they do. So, in my opinion, they're worth more than just a fleeting mention in an occasional news story. Jade Parker was a counterterrorism researcher who formerly worked in military intelligence. After doing a lot of research and blowing the whistle on the emerging accelerationist terror threat and trying desperately to get her higher-ups to pay attention to it, she was smeared and ousted from her field by gatekeeping colleagues. She took to Twitter to air her grievances, and she shared a document she called her dead man switch, and she claimed to have used her research to determine the identity of the person who planted the bomb on Capitol Hill on January 5th, the day before the January 6th Capitol riot. Then shortly after that, Jade went dark. Short side note to let y'all know that Jade Parker is alive. I won't go into too many details, but just so you know, she is alive, she's in hiding, and she has a really good reason for wanting to stay that way. One of the accelerationist groups that Jade worked to expose is an obscure satanic neo-Nazi cult called the Order of Nine Angles. And in this video, I'm going to break down that cult's relationship to the satanic pedophilia network 764. Back in January of 2024, the world had become aware of Kyle Spitz after a viral video began circulating on the platform formerly known as Twitter, which I still call Twitter out of sheer stubbornness. In the video, Kyle lay on his bed, a laptop in his lap, when an unkempt middle-aged man lunged into the open doorway.
Get ready, boys. Goddamn brains out. Right fucking now.
Stop it. Blow my brains out.
No! Stop it!
Sue me, I guarantee you, you'll go to jail for life.
Get ready, boys. Get ready, boys. I'm tired of shit.
You're gonna blow my ball. You're gonna blow my mom's brains out? Point that gun at me again.
No. You just fucking hit him? Did he hit you? Oh my god! You're going.
It was a simple 54-second video, offered by many large accounts on Twitter with no context. Salty Cracker, a large YouTube channel, featured a breakdown of the video, which was aptly titled, Family That Looks Like a Bunch of Meth Addicts Shoot Each Other.
Everybody in... Holy shit!
The sudden virality of this short, out-of-context video made sense. It was the perfect length. There was a lot going on. Kyle's provocation of a deranged gunman, leading him to get grazed in the ear by a bullet. The mother with her pants down at her ankles. The all-too-perfect freeze frame of the bullet leaving the barrel, and the blood drops on the floor. But most importantly, the group of influencers who shared it on Twitter and their followers had no shortage of funny comments and memes to make about the situation. Law and Crime Sidebar host Jesse Weber was quick to secure an interview with Kyle Spitz, where he revealed that the shooter was his stepdad, 68-year-old Jeffrey Scott West. After the video ended, the Blount County SWAT team was deployed and a standoff ensued, ultimately ending when West committed suicide inside the house.
That is a video from my guest.
Joined right
you can find
now.
Her on X at BX_on_X. BX on Rumble, BX streams on Twitch. Stay with us. We'll be right back to break down the satanic pedophiles. Yeah.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI is now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, third hour of American Journal is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Joining me in studio is BX. BX is an independent investigator, streamer, and artist. Her investigations focus on exposing satanic pedophile networks, psyops, and underreported events. You can catch her streams on Twitch, where she deconstructs media narratives and rants about the government. You can follow her on X at BX underscore on underscore X, on Rumble at BX on Rumble, and Twitch at BX Streams. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Harrison. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. What a dark rabbit hole you have led me down following some of your research. How did you get started in this, and what has led you to some of the dark corners that I know you've explored on online?
Yeah, so it's kind of, oh, it's not funny. I say that's kind of funny, but it's like really dark, I guess.
Right.
You know, I started out, I was a competitive shooter for a really long time and a self-defense instructor. And so at one point I was like, you know what, I'm going to start doing this like YouTube and Twitch thing. And we start talking about guns and self-defense. And at some point I started to kind of, you know, get more comfortable looking at the online landscape and seeing all the dangers to kids. And as a mom thinking, oh my gosh, you know, we teach self-defense to kids. We teach kids how to avoid strangers, talking to strangers and getting abducted. But we're really not talking about all of the dangers our kids face online. And so I decided I want to start advocating for online safety awareness because of all of these things happening to our kids. Kind of what I say is, you know, bad guys don't just sit in white vans outside schools anymore. Right. They don't need to. Your kid has a phone, your kid has a computer, and they're targeting your kids, you know, in all kinds of ways that people wouldn't expect, like through Roblox or Minecraft or, you know, games that parents just leave their kids alone to play and they don't realize that their kids are being groomed and exploited in that way.
Yeah, it's really scary. And, you know, it's always stuck with me. Some of the, you know, the pedophile hunter people like Alex Rosen, you know, they'll say if your kid's on the internet, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when they're approached by a predator. And, you know, some of the numbers he's given me where he's like, yeah, I create a fake profile and within an hour, 20 grown men have messaged me as a, you know, pretending, you know, when the profile appears like a middle school girl, it's like you've got all these adult men. And obviously, you know, the pedophilia aspect is a huge issue that people need to be aware of. But then what you uncover seems to go even deeper into like really, really creepy stuff. Obviously, we just showed the first 5 minutes of one of your videos that can be found on your X at BX underscore on underscore X. You can find this investigation. But I mean, what other than, you know, being, you know, people trying to meet up with your kids, like what other threats online are there that people need to be aware of?
Yeah. So, I mean, they're targeting kids for pretty much everything. And, you know, Alex Rosen is right. You know, when we started this, really, I started seeing it on Twitch. I started, in fact, I kind of blew the whistle on a really big predator ring operating on Twitch, where they would find these kids who were streaming. And we're talking about kids who are, I'm not talking about like 14, 15. I'm talking about like, they look like 8 or 9 year old
right.
kids. And they'll be streaming unsupervised. I guess parents sometimes just don't realize how easy it is for a kid to just hit go live or go to their friend's house and hit go live, right? And then these guys would just like they're really good, like you said, at finding the kids immediately. They right. will find them. And they flood in there and they start trying to get them to do challenges or like find ways to message them off platform so that they can exploit them even further. And so, you have that kind of thing and it's really prolific. And some of that stuff is like, you know, the one that we tracked on Twitch, it ended up targeting, I think, 300,000 kids. It was a Bloomberg expose. Like, you know, people were calling me crazy for the longest time. Like, this is crazy. There's so many of them. And then finally Bloomberg came out with an expose and 300,000 kids targeted on Twitch in a 2-year span. Crazy, wild. Right? And this is a more organized network of criminals, like, you know, who are just getting child exploitation content in that way. And so that's a little bit different. But now what we're finding are these like little fringe communities of terrorists, basically. I mean, domestic and foreign terrorists who are grooming our kids, not just for like really evil sexual exploitation, but also for, you know, trying to get them to become terrorists, to get them to commit terror attacks against the United States and other Western countries, including mass shootings.
So explain that a little bit. Like what have you uncovered, like examples of that? Because this is always a suspicion. I remember with the Buffalo shooter, guy who shot at people in the supermarket, there was a lot of suspicion around like who he was talking to on Discord and how they were, you know, encouraging him and, you know, whether they had federal ties and whether this was an operation from the federal government who were sort of using these new platforms to groom people to commit false flag attacks. Is that the type of thing you're talking about?
Actually, it is. In fact, I have an article about the Buffalo shooter that just came out and I'll be working on part 4 of my mini doc. We'll cover that exclusively. Because, I mean, I know who was grooming him in those chat rooms, because as we're doing this kind of research, we found those people. Wow. I remember, you know, and that's kind of, it's kind of funny you say that, because the Buffalo shooting was really the first time that I saw a situation where I stopped and go, hold on, well, who's behind this kid? We're seeing his Discord journal come out. So it's not just like a conspiracy, like who's behind the scenes? Like, no, his Discord diary is saying, I talked to Saint Sandman, and he gave me advice on what kinds of guns to buy. And you're thinking, why is nobody talking about this? Who is this guy? And can we arrest this person so that we, you know, he'll, because it really does seem to me like they're finding these vulnerable, not to, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to like excuse him from anything he did.
Right.
But they really are finding these kids who are vulnerable. They're alone. They're terminally online. They're on 4chan, spurging out, right? Yeah, they're sometimes neurodivergent types of kids are targeted. And so, I want to figure out who's doing that, because I think if we can stop those people, you know, we might stop this, this proliferation. And definitely not saying all mass shooters are like that, but this was definitely a case of that. And so what we ended up discovering over 2 years, we looked into all of this stuff and ultimately found Peyton Gendron, the Buffalo shooter, in this very same satanic pedophile community that we're about to talk about.
Yeah. So tell me about that. You know, when we use the term satanic pedophiles, it can be a big swath of people that run our country and other countries around the world. But what you're talking about is like not the upper level. It seems to me like this is like these are like the foot soldier satanic pedophiles.
Yes.
Tell us about it. And again, watching your video, there's a group called 764. Tell us about what this is.
Yeah. So, and you're right. Sometimes when you say like satanic pedophile, people tend to close off and be like, all right, this person's crazy. And I noticed that when I started talking about this in, I think, January or so, of course, I'm like, oh my God, they're satanic pedophile, you know?
Right,
and
right.
People were like, whoa, you need to chill out, right? But then over the course of a few months, mainstream media started to pick up on this. And the Canadian, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police or whatever, they put out a PSA just a couple of days ago about this group where they specifically mention occultism. They try to avoid saying Satanism, right? But they'll say occultism or pseudo-satanic or something. But we're seeing mainstream media and even now the world governments come out and acknowledge that this is real. And this is a little bit more specific and fringe than like, you know, elite, whatever.
Right.
Satanic. Yeah, sure. Probably. Right.
Right.
But this is a very, very specific kind of abuse that's going on. And in my opinion, in all the research that I've done, it's less that they're like a spooky satanic cult where they're like chanting and, you know, doing it, and more of like an aesthetic that they use to scare people and to like incite fear and to give them kind of more control over their victims. Mm. And also in a way discredit people talking about it. I mean,
right.
You know, because as soon as you say, you know, Satanism, people kind of tend to be like, okay, this person's crazy. Right. And that really actually plays out well for them.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because you think about, you know, like it's almost like calling out Satanism's gotten a bad rap because, you know, it's like the satanic panic and all of that was fake. But then you look around today, or even just, you know, like in mainstream popular culture where it's like, yeah, we've called these people satanic for a long time. And now they're out there just like dressed up like Satan being like, you know, yes, I worship Satan. Let's all sing a song together. You know, it's like blatant now. It's out in the open. And that's interesting. They're actually using this as a way to discredit people talking about it. I hadn't thought about that. So yeah, when people are like, but who are you really talking about? It's like, well, when we say satanic pedophiles, we mean the people that want to have sex with children and worship Satan. It's not that. It's not that complicated.
It's not that complicated. That's exactly what it is. And you know, and I get a lot of pushback. It's kind of funny. It's like when I first started talking about this, I had like the Church of Satan official Twitter page start flaming me online and quote tweeting me. And I had all these like real emo, actually, that's not what Satanism is. And I'm like, listen, I'm not here to like mince words and like they worship Satan, hail Lucifer. They're drawing upside down pentagrams in blood and trying to summon demons. I don't know what else to call them. Right.
Right.
If they were like some kind of fringe Christian cult that did something crazy, you know, I'm still going to call them that. It doesn't mean that it reflects all Christians. Just like this doesn't reflect all Satanists, right? There are those Church of Satan kind of modern progressive Satanists that just do it to be edgy or whatever.
Right, edgy atheism, basically.
I'm going to get tons of crap over this later. I know.
You're used to that by now, I would imagine.
Yeah, but I don't want to focus on the satanic part as much because, again, I think that in a lot of cases, there's just a few really bad actors who are kind of pushing that aesthetic onto these groups and trying to get the victims to use this aesthetic. And that's what they're trying to promote. But I think that it's more important to focus on the child abuse part, and the extortion part. The reason that I'm not going to stop talking about the satanic aspect is because it's important to identify this group. So this particular group, like that's the calling card, right? And so when we're talking to parents about this very real thing, we need to point out that like this is the calling card of this group is, you know, the cultist satanic aspects of it. So it's still important to note that that's what this is so that people can identify it when they see it.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's a way of sort of seducing, you know, kids who just are sort of excited by the Satanism. You know,
absolutely.
Ooh, this sounds dangerous. You know, if you grow up in a Christian household, but you want to be kind of edgy, or you're a rebellious teenager, and like you're like, ooh, I'm going to do the thing that pisses my parents off. Satanism, that sounds edgy, and so you're pulled in. This is from The Independent. Teenager allegedly involved in satanic group 764 faces terrorism charges. So when was this from? This was April 12th
year. That person, his name in the group was Acid, and he was the one who was sending me a lot of really horrifying death threats for a very long time. And so I was really happy that he was arrested.
Yeah.
When he was arrested, he was also discovered to have been planning a murder. So that was happening. And then he was also in possession of this terrorist manual. So like they have these basically manuals that are so it's so much more than just child abuse. Right. This is also terrorism.
Right.
But some of these specific groups are really geared towards, yeah, we're abusing kids and stuff, too. And that's honestly, it's in a way it's like a perpetuating a cycle of abuse. So that you can extort the kids into doing other things or get them more radicalized or desensitized so that now you can get them to basically become proxy soldiers against the U.S. And we talked about this, but a lot of these guys who are doing the provoking, like the, you know, the person who was arrested, I guess, a couple of months ago was planning this mass casualty attack in New York. He was actually part of this group and he lived in Georgia, the country. There's other ones in Ukraine and Romania, Serbia, Eastern Europe. And so we're seeing that's like a hotbed of activity for these people who are trying to basically get kids to go commit terror attacks against the West.
Yeah. And that's crazy. I think you told me about that before we went live. But tell us about the you know, the attempted mass casualty event in New York that they were trying. So they were trying to get American kids. So these are non-American people in Eastern Europe grooming American kids to go out and commit mass violence in America.
Yes. So, and that's actually part three of my mini doc. There is a, you mentioned it on X, but I have a YouTube channel now. You can watch all three of them and the fourth one when that comes out. And it's BX Investigates. That's the YouTube channel. So part three of this was a continuation of the video about 764. And it was about something called the Maniac Murder Cult, or otherwise known as MKU. Now, this guy, his name was Butcher, and he was from overseas trying to provoke people in America to go commit acts of terrorism. And we had actually seen this guy around. So, I knew of this guy before he was arrested. We were like, that's a bad dude. That's one of these people we've been talking about who's back there provoking mass shootings and trying to extort people and get people to go commit, mass shootings and terror attacks. Well, it turned out that he had been planning a mass casualty attack in New York where he wanted to hand out poison-laced candy to minorities on the streets of New York. And that was his whole, he was actually trying to solicit somebody to do this from Eastern Europe. And the person he was soliciting to do it was an undercover federal agent. Because wow. Of course they were. And so thankfully, though, they were able to stop this guy because he was a madman. And in this case, you might want to kind of go to a conspiratorial like Fed thing. But in this case, I had actually seen this guy doing this to other people. So I knew that he was like a serious problem.
Right.
And so it was pretty amazing that's the first time I've ever seen the FBI actually take action against one of these big, bad, shadowy provocateurs, which was like really a trip.
It's wild. And there's obviously some good people in the FBI, and there are people that are trying sometimes against all odds to actually stop some of this stuff. But that was sort of my question, is like, is there an overall plan to this? I mean, is there a greater goal that these people are trying to achieve, or is this just random chaos for chaos sake?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question. The goal is rooted in something known as accelerationism.
Right.
We're not talking about the acceleration tech bro stuff. We're talking about a set of doctrines that basically say that if you sow division within a country, if you destabilize them, if you divide them, if you cause chaos, and if you commit terror attacks and turn people against each other, you can facilitate the collapse of the system, right? They want to destabilize the West. And they're doing a really good job by provoking people at, peaceful protests, for example, would be a good example of an accelerationist tactic. Committing a mass shooting and inciting a gun debate would also be another really good, that's another strategy that they use. And so the idea of accelerationism is that you can accelerate the collapse of a country simply by subverting people within it. To do this, they target our youth, and they try to basically make little proxy soldiers within the U.S. They can, in the case of Peyton Gendron, some people, I've gotten resistance on this, I guess, but listen, I'm not here. I'm here to tell you the truth as I've seen it, right? Yeah. Peyton Gendron was racially motivated. He wanted to go shoot black people in a grocery store. However, that kid, when you look at some of these mass shooters, you start to notice a trend of like, this is just like a normal middle upper class kid from the suburbs. Like, their parents are just like flabbergasted. How did this happen to my kid? It's not like he was like a little, mean racist kid like his whole life. It just like suddenly happened. And it's really a case of them being groomed and indoctrinated and radicalized. Now, the people who are doing that might not be racially motivated. They might be actually focused on just causing chaos in America.
Right. Whatever the vulnerability is.
Yeah.
So for that kid, it was racism. So they're like, oh, yeah, do that. Yeah, yeah. Raise it. But if some other kid is an incel and hates women, they're like, oh, yeah, do that. Right.
Really big one. Yeah. Maybe it's a transgender type of issue. Right.
Right.
You could. It's very individualized the way they're targeting these kids. And so they're finding vulnerable kids in various different subgroups saying, hey, this kid's screaming racist stuff on 4chan. Probably a good candidate. Right.
Right.
And so that's in that way they are really just trying to destroy our country from within and corrupting our youth too.
Yeah.
Same time.
And I mean, in a way, it's it's overdosing on the black pill, right? It's looking around and going, you know what? There's no saving this country anymore. So the best case scenario is we get it over quick. You end it now so we can rebuild something, because trying to preserve what we used to have is no longer possible. It's sort of just accepting the collapse of all of this as inevitable, and therefore just get it done so we can rebuild again. And that's hugely dangerous. I think it's something that we at InfoWars sort of, whether consciously or not, are, you know, fight against that and fight against the black pill. And it's not hopeless. We can turn this thing around. You have to actually fight for it and get involved. But it can be very dangerous to just give up hope and, you know, just go, yeah, burn it all, right?
Yeah, but
it can feel good to do that.
Collapse, and things have to get worse before they get better. That, you know, that's the concept that you're talking about, like nihilism and fatalism and the black pill, especially among incels, which is, if you watch part one of my mini doc, I really talk about how I got into all of this. Was that I was researching mass shootings and I found out about the incels. And I found other people associated with the government were also studying this this concept of accelerationism, and the idea that the mainstream keeps saying, well, it was an incel. Well, it was a racially motivated, a white supremacist. But they're not actually talking about the fact that there are these people within these communities who are just speaking to their audience, right? Oh, let's say that it's the same person who groomed the white supremacist is also in the incel community saying, hey, you know what? Like, society has failed you. And the only way to make it any better is to just go and kill the people you hate. Just go kill women, right?
Yeah.
And so they really target their specific communities. And so for them, it's not as much about an ideology. They're just using that ideology of their target audience.
Right. And like you point out, they would be, equally happy telling a transgender person to go, commit murder. So is it a right wing or left wing thing? Is this a phenomenon that it crosses all these?
I would say in a lot of cases, what we're looking at is a third positionist kind of situation where they're neither right nor left. A lot of times they're, fascist, right?
Yeah.
And I say that word in the most specific sense imaginable, okay? Because I get another... if the Satanists get triggered when I say Satanism, then the right wing gets triggered when I say it like neo-Nazi or fascism or something. But I mean these things in the most specific term.
Right. Because we're used to these terms just being thrown around,
right.
and you know, sort of having a knee-jerk reaction of, like, they call Trump supporters fascists. So
exactly.
Stop calling us fascists.
Yeah. We're talking about people who want to overthrow the United States government and install a fascist regime. Right.
Right.
Like, these people are not... they're not patriots.
Right.
They're terrorists. And the same thing with neo-Nazis, right? I get, the satanic pedophile neo-Nazis. Yes, they are national socialists. They praise Hitler and want to, reinstall what he started. And they want to, genocide ethnic groups. So this is very specific. I get national socialists in my ear, too. Well, we're not all pedophiles. Hey. I get attacked by the worst people.
If you're ever making the argument we're not all pedophile, you might want to find out who else you're hanging out with. But so much of this rings true because I've noticed this personally, like the shooter from Uvalde. I think it was the shooter from Uvalde. Mm-hmm. People were trying to paint him as a Nazi because he was, had things praising Hitler. But it's like, no, this dude just like, he was just like, oh, Hitler's the most evil and I love evil. So I love Hitler because evil, good. It's just, it's not ideological as much as it is just nihilistic love of destruction, love of chaos and death. It's a real spiritual sickness that you're uncovering here. And it gets very disturbing. We start talking about federal agents that have tried to stop this and have gone missing. And I want to talk to you about that on the other side. Stay with us, folks. We're just barely scratching the surface with my guest, BX, BX_on_X, Rumble BX on Twitch at BX Streams and on YouTube.
It's Friday, August 16th, 2024. The world is changing. The globalist system is now attacking humanity. As their programs come to an end. The grid. A digital frontier. I tried to picture clusters of information as they move through the computer. What do they look like? Ships, motorcycles, with the circuits like freeways. I kept dreaming of I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in.
I'm your host, Alex Jones. Dr. Kirk Elliott, good friend of mine, really smart guy, is our guest. And I'm just going to put this right up front. If I owned a restaurant, I would want to have the best, most delicious, healthy food at the most affordable prices where I got the biggest crowds in. So you had a great experience. You want to come back 100 times and I make money and I'm successful. You have a great time. You get treated right. I get treated right. That's a community. So let's say it again. People really responded to this truth. I've been on there 30 years. I've had gold sponsors for 28 years as sponsors. Only two companies, because if you want a numismatic, they'd sell it to you, but they would try to sell you gold and silver bullion with, you know, 10% markup or whatever to pay their bills and do it. And that's very fair. You barely do it. I don't know how Kirk does it at 8% with his crew and his everything and the quality and the marketing, but he does it. So he's paying for marketing and running his crew and doing all this stuff for 8% and no charge to sell it back. Everybody else does that. It's such a good deal. It's very frustrating. I know we have millions of people watching every hour, and a lot of folks are calling. He's getting thousands of calls when he comes on. That's great. But it needs to be tens of thousands of calls. I mean, this is so simple. In a world of fiat, you at least want to have a hedge that's in silver and gold. And if you look at what's happening, I am only going to try to push something that I believe I would personally do, and that I personally do. I mean, it's real simple. Do unto others as you would do unto you. That's the golden rule. And Christ said, actually, you need to go further, lay your life down for others. But when everybody's like that, you live in a great society because nobody's really having any problems. Everybody's a badass. Everybody's willing to sacrifice. So it is a no-brainer to call them, do a consultation, and get into silver right now. And if you want some gold, you know, maybe get it 80% silver, get some gold. But I think he's dead on. I don't think, I know. You would be all silver. That's what's going to go up, obviously. That's what's undervalued. Then you get the gold once it skyrockets, which is already happening. So you need to go to kepm.com/gold. That's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. kepm.com/gold. And then InfoWars is the support. Or you can call 720-605-3900. And listen, if enough of you went there, because he does his sponsorship off of what percentage he gets, we could get reporters back, expand, do anything. I mean, already we would not be on air right now if it wasn't for his sponsorship. He takes us over the top to be in the black. Not much, but a little bit. And so I appreciate the crew staying with us through all this hell. It's been wild. We're still here by the grace of God, but you need to support this sponsor. It supports what we're doing. Plus, it's the best deal, the best company, the highest ratings. It's so simple. Call him now, 720-605-3900.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Folks. Yeah, the internet, I don't know if you know this, folks, the internet is a sordid place. It can be very disturbing. Luckily, we don't have to delve in there ourselves. We have BX to do it for us. BX can be found on X at BX underscore on underscore X. She's on Rumble at BX on Rumble, on Twitch at BX Streams, and you can go to YouTube and search BX Investigates, and there you can find the first three parts of her multi-part documentary laying out the investigation she's done onto some of the satanic pedophile terrorist rings operating pretty much out in the open, right? I mean,
they're not hiding.
I was going to ask, do they try to hide themselves, or is this all just, you know, you could find it if you just go out and look?
You can find it if you go out and look and you know where to look. That, you know, how we found this was from the Kyle Spitz stuff. We knew that they existed before, but then once that Kyle Spitz, that video you played at the beginning, with the viral one where the stepdad shoots him in the ear. When we found out that that was linked to 764, that's when the whole, basically the landscape opened up to us, because we were able to find like all of his friends and all of his networks and his Telegram channels. And so that's when things really, really opened up. But they're definitely not hiding. Now, when you start talking about them and making, and like in this kind of capacity, yeah, they get a little mad. They get angry. They get a little stabby, and they start to threaten to kill you a lot. So they don't like, they don't like the publicity we're giving them, which just, you know, means we should keep it up, because people need to go away.
And, but it's not sort of your old school, like, secret society where you have to, like, become a member and take an oath and then they reveal to you. It's all just like they publish it.
The majority of them are young. Some of them as young as 13 years old, I've seen. You know, and then there's also adults in the room. There's been adults as old as 47 connected to this ring. So it's all age groups, but a lot of them are literally just kids trying to be edgy. Mm-hmm. So in that way, yeah, they, of course, they're stupid, and they boast about it online. And they want to be seen, and they want to be seen as these big, edgy, spooky figures. And so, yeah, they're all out there.
Man, it really is disturbing. And one of the most disturbing things that I saw in your research was that there was a woman who was in the federal government trying to investigate this. And was she stopped from investigating this, or she basically disappeared? Like, she was there. She was trying to get the word out about the danger of these organizations and what they're up to. And then she just vanished largely.
Yeah. So that, you're talking about Jade Parker.
Jade Parker,
that's the very first video in my series, kind of talks about how I found this whole thing, which was by, like I said, looking into the incel community. And then I found out that there was another woman who was also looking into the exact same things that I was. And her name was Jade Parker. And she had been trying to sound the alarm bells about accelerationism and how that's our number one terror threat. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but I later found out that this was a, she worked for JSOC, so she was a military intelligence analyst.
Wow.
And she was, she had done a lot of work, cyber warfare against ISIS kind of stuff. So she was, she knew what she was talking about. She's a very smart lady. And she had basically identified this accelerationist threat, identified all of the driving forces behind it, and tried to escalate it to intelligence agencies and to, you know, law enforcement authorities, to say, this is really important. We need to get information out on this. So at that point, I guess, like all of her other little colleagues in the countering violent extremism communities, right, which are, it's a collection of people who are both federal government and like NGOs and stuff, right? They kind of took that and spun it as right-wing extremism. Mm. And I got the feeling from Jade Parker that she didn't really like that, because this isn't right-wing extremism. This is something else. This could be used by the left. It can be used by the right. And it's most frequently used by like this third position, right?
Right.
And so she was kind of pushing back and saying, no, this isn't an ideology. This isn't just something that white supremacists do. This is a set of tactics that could be used not just by, you know, white supremacists in America, but by our foreign enemies, right? Our foreign enemies and foreign governments could also be using tactics of accelerationism to attack us. And so this is very important stuff, national security level stuff.
Yeah, and it kind of it sounds like almost a corollary to like the Cloward Piven strategy of, you know, just put too much burden on the government, collapse the system to convince people that this old system with capitalism and
exactly,
you know, free and rights, that wasn't sustainable, that collapsed. So now we have to have something new.
Yeah.
So this really is it's a set of tactics that's used across ideologies. And but then she was, so what happened to her? She tried to bring this forward. She tried to tell people about this. And, you know, obviously their strategy is to associate this with what they keep referring to as MAGA extremism. And basically the implication is like, if you vote for Trump, you therefore are one of these terrorists, which is totally irresponsible, obviously, for the authorities in our government to be purporting that type of rhetoric. But so what happened to this woman who was trying to actually identify what the real threat was of accelerationism?
Well, she had what I would call, I guess. So first of all, I would say that her colleagues basically kind of stole her work and then tried to reframe it. And when she pushed back on that, it seemed to me like what happened is they kind of ganged up on her and then basically gaslit her and told her she was crazy and told everybody else she was crazy and no one should listen to her, and harassed her until she eventually had to basically flee the scene. And basically she got harassed out of her own body of work, which of course I'm not coming from a place of being a counter violent extremism expert, but to me, like, the things she was saying were like, yes, this is exactly what is happening. This is exactly what I've been seeing. And since making that video, I've had tons of people comment and say, this makes so much sense. Like, what she's saying actually makes so much sense. And it just like ties everything together that we've been seeing. So I think that intuitively what she's saying made sense to me, which is why I do think that she was basically ousted, because she wasn't going along with that same kind of framework that they wanted her to go along with.
See, but that just, the obvious conclusion for me is like, okay, these people know what's going on and are engaged in a cover up of it. I mean, if you're driving out and ostracizing the person covering this, I mean, you either want this to continue or maybe you're in on it and, have some ulterior motive, which is very concerning, because that's our federal government doing that. I mean, do you think it's purely political? They're just so obsessed with like getting MAGA people that they're willing to allow this terrorism to go on unabated, or are they involved in this and helping to cover up?
So, I think that, I'm sure it's a mixed bag, because this is a huge community of different varied people, right? From people all the way from like Department of Homeland Security all the way to, NGOs and people who run like nonprofit anti-hate orgs and stuff, right? But as far as like Jade goes, or Jade's colleagues go, I think a lot of them really are just kind of blinded by bias. Right. I think they believe what they're pushing out there, and they don't want to believe that it's not all right-wing extremism. They don't. It's almost like it's a cognitive dissonance, right? Mm. Where they don't want to admit that they could be wrong about it. That's just my perspective. And I tend to be a lot more generous than some, right?
You're more generous than me. Yeah, I'm a little bit more suspicious about the feds.
I'm sure there are those people who are doing it for totally political reasons, for sure. But I think that a lot of her colleagues are really just these types of people who believe so strongly that what they're doing is like, the right thing for the country, that they ignore the facts that are right in front of them, even when they completely contradict what they're saying and pose a big risk. Like, if we just ignore this, what's going to happen? We're going to keep having mass shootings. We're going to keep having division. We're going to keep having these child abuse networks pop up. And it's so much deeper than I think even her colleagues realized.
Wow. And of course, we know, because we've reported on it many times over the last couple of years, the way that the FBI is dedicating just endless resources, and the DHS, they're all just dedicating endless resources to combating right-wing extremism, to the point that they're like shutting down entire divisions who are going after pedophiles online. They're like, no, you don't do that anymore. Now you're going after the domestic extremist, even though, they don't really exist to the degree that we say. It's crazy, folks, and it only gets crazier. We'll be back on the other side with BX to talk about the group 764 that's sort of at the heart of all of this. It's an international group. It seems like it's centered here in America, and this is where most of their activity is taking place. So stay with us. BX on YouTube at BX Investigate.
I'm asking viewers to just sit back for a moment and really think about the success InfoWars has had. And InfoWars isn't just me, it's not just the crew, it's not just our guest. It's all of you, the viewers and listeners, that give us intel, that spread the word, that support the broadcast. In the 30-year history of me being on air and 27 years of InfoWars, we have changed the world. And because we researched the globalist's own documents, we knew their game plan. I didn't learn all this stuff out of some Palantir crystal ball. I did it by reading the books and publications that these creatures put out, because they communicate with each other and are very honest about their diabolical plan for world government, depopulation, transhumanism, total robot control. And I believe in humanity. I bet on you, because I was betting on myself, and I know that it's always darkest right before the dawn. And so now in 2024, so close to this election, it is more critical than ever to not just keep InfoWars on the air, but to not take the reports and the videos and the articles and the interviews and to get those out to everybody. I understand that's really stating the obvious, but we have to understand how urgent the moment is and really redouble our efforts. And I'm saying that myself. I'm on the air 7 days a week. I'm doing a lot of interviews. I'm doing more special reports. We're going out in the field. We are busting our ass because the future destiny of humanity is really on the line right now. Now, a critical part of InfoWars continuing on and hopefully even expanding into the future is your support. And we make it so easy. We bring you the very best products that are out there that will empower and enrich your life at very competitive, affordable prices. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Read the 5-star reviews for the great InfoWars MD line and the other great supplements as well. They really are incredible. They're the very best that the supplement industry has to offer, and they really work. That's why people love them. The fastest growing industry in the United States, other than AI, is supplements year after year for 30 years because people are seeing the incredible effects. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are more than 15 products under the InfoWars MD line, and they're all amazing. But some of my favorites are the Nitric Boost that cleans out the blood, the cardiovascular system, and has a lot of great side effects that men will particularly notice. You need to check it out for yourself. You hear the callers talking about it all the time without me even prompting them. It is amazing. Then you've got Joint Relief Max that is a natural pain reliever. Works really, really well in a healthy way. You have Turmeric 95. 95% curcuminoid. This is where we get the turmeric for Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. They're both excellent. InfoWars MD. We've got the full spectrum CBD gummies. 25 milligrams. Great anti-inflammatory. Isn't a downer. Isn't a depressant, but makes you very relaxed and focused. It's almost like a stimulant in a weird way, but it's different. And then, of course, we've got other great products for women and men, Ageless Vitality, just high-quality collagen. All of this funds our operation. And, of course, these are 25-milligram gummies. They work great. We have 1,000-milligram tincture that is made by one of the top manufacturers in the country who sells it at retail for twice the price we sell it, then they discount it. Even at the discount, we're selling it for about 50% less than the actual manufacturer does. There's not as much profit, but it's a great deal. 1,000 milligram CBD oil, InfoWars MD, that's the tincture. Then we've got all these other amazing products from InfoWars MD as well. They're excellent, and it funds the operation. So go to InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line. While you're at it, get a high-quality water filtration, get storable food, get books, get films, get T-shirts. All of it will enrich your life, inform your mind, and keep us on the air. That's critical right now. I humbly thank you for your support. Now please go to InfoWarsStore.com.
Folks, this is our final segment with my guest in studio, BX. BX is her name. I always repeat this over and over because no matter how many times I say it, I'll still have people on Twitter going, who was that again? I'll tell you one more time. Write it down, folks. BX underscore on underscore X is her X account name. You can follow her on Rumble, BX on Rumble, Twitch, BX Streams, and on YouTube, you can search BX Investigates, and you can find her series there and her ongoing multi-part documentary. And I have friends that are big fans of you, and they're texting me here, and I asked them if they had any questions, and he gave me a really good one. He said, what do you say to the listeners that are tuned in right now that do think collapse is inevitable and go, yeah, accelerationism, this sounds like a good plan. We're never saving this. Let's do it. I mean, what do you say to the ideology of accelerationism?
Yeah, I strongly disagree. We could have a talk about that from a different perspective. There's lots of different types of accelerationism, right? There's like the Nick Land type of accelerationism. There's the e-accelerationist movement. But this type of accelerationism is what more specifically we call militant accelerationism. It's a violent form of uprising. And it's it basically advocates for indiscriminate violence against minorities or children, just in anything that will hurt our country, right? And so obviously I think that hopefully all of your listeners can agree that violent extremism against innocent people is wrong.
I would hope so.
That's what these guys are after. I don't really want to get into the other stuff, which I still fundamentally disagree with. I think we can still fix our country. Yeah. I'm not a collapsitarian of any sort.
I've never heard that. That's good.
But, you know, it, specifically these people, we need to be rallying against their ideology, because their idea is to hurt people to get their way. And right. That's not what America's about.
And it's also just a dumb plan. Like, you know, you just think about the shooter in New Zealand. I mean, he had that whole whatever, you know, essay that he wrote where his whole thing was like, oh, this is going to wake people up and this is going to, and it's like, okay, what happened? Greater gun control. Everything that you thought you were fighting against got worse. Like, you're dumb. You're dumb if you think this is going to be successful at all in any way ever. You're only giving power to the people that you think you're fighting against. So it's just a stupid tactic in general, right?
I mean, say that because, like, so I've had the privilege of talking to some of these violent extremists, like, right, cordially, and just because I want to get into their heads and be like, so what do you want to do after collapse? It's like, step one, collapse. Step three, woohoo, yeah, profit.
Right. What's
and
step
you're like,
two?
What's step two, right?
Yeah.
Because if you have, like, eco-fascists and neo-Nazis and these anarchists, right, and all these different people who are vying for, you know, they want to install their fascist regime in the smoldering ashes of the West. Is it just going to be like a Mad Max Thunderdome fight between various fascist regimes? Like, who's going to win? And, like, what are you going to do after the collapse? It's like something they can't answer. They don't know.
So it's sort of a utopian vision, right? It's just like, oh, no, trust us. It'll all be great as soon as the collapse comes. That's totally wild. So tell us about this group 764. Because we mentioned it a few times, but give people some context here. It's, you know, a lot of what we've talked about already is centered around this group. But is this, like, the main group? Is it the biggest group? Is it what is 764?
So 764 is it's just one subgroup of a network of groups connected to a much larger online cyber criminal community known as Calm. So Calm is like just a big network of cyber criminals that do everything from hacking, swatting. We talked about, like, so these are the guys who are swatting Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tim Pool and stuff, right? These people who are connected to this group of extortionists. There's people who do extortion. There's people who do child abuse and pedophiles. There's animal abuse aspects of this. Pretty much everything you can imagine happening on the dark web can somehow be connected to this group in some way or another. So this group has spawned some really nasty, I guess you would call them, like, subgroups or splinter factions, right? And one of those is the 764 Child Predator Network. It goes by a lot of names, so there's more than one group in this network. There's other ones, like there's one called CVLT, Harm Nation, Leak Society. So there's a bunch of different names, but we call it 764 because what I just said is kind of a mouthful and it's hard to explain to people.
Right.
So we call it the 764 Network, which really specifically refers to a group of people who are trying to prey on kids, groom them, sexually exploit them, and extort them into producing more and more and more harmful content and to become abusers themselves.
That's so creepy. And again, are they just getting their kicks for this? I mean, is this just fun for them? It's like a game they're playing?
So I've read a lot of criminal complaints because there's been at least a dozen arrests in this group so far. A lot of them, I've noticed a pattern of them having messages to their victims that just, where they say, why are you doing this to me? And they'll just say, because I want to, because I get satisfaction out of it.
Right.
So there is a lot of these people are just really, really, really sick. There was a criminal complaint I just read, I think, the other day, which was the first one I had actually read that gave such a clear picture of what they're doing to these kids. It's a really good example. It's really, really disturbing. But there was a guy who was arrested. He went by the name Reaper. He owned a Discord server called Purgatory, where he would, exploit kids. He was 26. So he was an adult. He met his, 13 or 14-year-old victim on Instagram. And, the first thing he did was kind of groom her and get her to send him explicit photos. And then after that, he started demanding more things from her and holding those photos over her head, right? Like, it's called sextortion.
Right.
So, like, I'm going to send this to your parents, your friends, everyone at your school if you don't continue to give me more stuff. And so his demands, then what they do is they find where these kids live and they say, I'm going to come murder your whole family, or I'm going to SWAT you. I'm going to call social services on you. And the things he was asking of her were, the biggest thing we see this group do is having victims cut their bodies in various satanic symbols or with their abuser's name, mark themselves with their abuser's name. So we see kids cut themselves on camera for these people, kill their pets, do increasingly disturbing stuff all the way up to committing suicide on camera.
Oh, my God. It's completely crazy. And, it's not like we want to bring you this information, but like you got to know and you got to be aware of this, especially for parents. So for people that are hearing this, I mean, obviously the instruction's always the same, right? It's like monitor your kids on the internet. For the love of God, people, do not give your kids unfettered access to the internet. I mean, it's insane to me that people will do this. I mean, they'll just give their 4-year-old kid an iPad and just go have fun. And it's like you have no idea what they're being introduced to. So other than just like watching what your kids are doing is as a bare minimum. I mean, what else can people do about this?
You know, I say this all the time. I was a firearms instructor for a really long time. And, I'd always get those people who go, why do I need to teach my kids about gun safety? Because we don't have guns here, right? But your house isn't the only place your kid could encounter a gun.
Right.
Kid could encounter a gun anywhere. And they need to know what to do in that situation, right? Which in the case of kids, it's not like, check if it's clear. It's, it's leave the area, call an adult, right? Stop, don't touch, leave the area, call an adult. So that kind of stuff we teach our kids from a very early age, even before they're old enough to handle a gun.
Right.
And in this case, it's the same thing. We need to be talking to our kids about these dangers online at an age appropriate level. Like I always say, I always kind of joke about it. This is kind of funny, but I took it too far with my kid because she knows mommy takes down bad guys online. Right. But I think that I took it too far. And now instead of being scared of monsters, she's like, are there bad guys under my bed? And
I
took it too far. So maybe don't scare your kids to the point that I did. Right. Because she's only 7. She doesn't, she doesn't need to know all of the specifics, but to her, the first thing I said was people don't always look like bad guys. Like I've showed her pictures of some of these people and she'll say, he doesn't look like a bad guy. It's the first thing she says. And it's like, well, the lesson here is that anyone can be a bad guy. They can look like anyone. Then as they get older, right, then you really do need to start talking to them about the grooming methods they use and talking to them honestly and bluntly about what these people are trying to do so that they can watch out for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the kids, or I'd say almost all of the kids have in common, it's not that their parents aren't around. I've had some situations where their parents are great. They have 3 well-adjusted kids, but one of them just got into a little funk and went on to some weird online community and just hid all of it from their parents. So, but I think what all of them do have in common is that they didn't know. They didn't know what these people do and how they operate. So the more we can teach our kids as they get to the age 13, 14, they're old enough to, hear about some of these awful things and know that these people are not their friends, because when they're grooming them, they're really trying to, nobody understands you. Your parents don't understand you. Friends, you're so isolated, but I love you and I'll validate you, right? They just love
classic cult
like
programming.
That. Yeah. And so, you need to teach your kids to look out for stuff like that and show them the ugly truth about what that can lead to.
Yeah. And let them know that it's never too late to reverse course. Wow. Incredible stuff. I wish we had longer to talk about this. You got to follow my guest BX on X at BX _on_X on Rumble at BX on Rumble. Twitch is BX Streams, and you can watch her multi-part documentary series on YouTube. Just search BX Investigates. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you stay safe and sane doing the research that you do in the future.
It's a struggle. I do art also, if you wanted to go check out my artwork.
Follow her on X, folks.
And people are listening to me are like, well, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the devil either. Oh, no, you've been captured. Because if you don't believe in Jesus or you don't believe in the devil, is the devil telling you that? There's a blindfold. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the devil, that's the god of this world, has put a veil over people so that they don't see the light of the gospel. So, one day I'm just crying out and praying for the nation because, like I said, my main job in this world is an intercessor for the nations, and then my side hustle is being a doctor and a businesswoman. I can't believe that in 2024, you're still in a position where you can get a serious disease from COVID, end up with COVID long symptoms, and possibly die. So please, please, just listen to me. Go on drstellamd.com, do a telemedicine appointment, get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet today. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. For people right now, for a family, if you want to build defense for your family, is to get Covivites, to get the Pox Defense. And if you have children, get the Immunovites for children because it has zinc, it has elderberry. So this is what we're calling right now the Trifecta Family Pack. So you get the immune defense for your family, you get defense against pox, you get defense against, build your immunity against COVID, against bird flu and dengue and all these other RNA viruses. So my advice, please listen to me. Go on our website, drstellamd.com. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. We put this together to help you, but I just want you to get it. Get it in your head that we are at a time when they want to destroy humanity. And because they're going to try to destroy humanity, we have to be prepared. Only those that are paranoid, that are prepared, would survive. So that is my pledge, and that is what we do. Your pledge is to make sure that you prepare you and your family. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount.